Elgar's Third Symphony, unfinished at his death, and the Serenade for Tenor, Horn and Strings, written by Britten in his youthful prime.
Queen and Huntress, chaste and fair, how the sun is late to sleep.
The tenor, Ian Bostridge, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and conductor John Wilson perform an all-British concert next Thursday evening at 7:30, live on BBC Radio 3.
Well, as I say, it's time now for our Drama on Three. And to mark the 80th birthday of the poet Tony Harrison, we have a world premiere of his new play, Iphigenia in Crimea, drawing on Euripides' tragedy, Iphigenia in Tauris. Blake Ritson, Robert Emms and Richard Glaives star in this all-male production of Iphigenia, which is introduced by the poet himself. The play contains some strong language.
I originally wanting to do it in the Crimea, in the original theatre, near the original temple where Iphigenia had to serve Artemis, which there are fragments of still. And these fragments, when you go and look at them, have got bullet holes in them and damage, and the bullet holes are from both the Crimean War and the Second World War. The play is, many ways, about the aftermath of a huge war, the Trojan War. And the Trojan War was the reason why Iphigenia was sacrificed by her father, Agamemnon, in order that he could sail to Troy. And she was rescued by Artemis and taken to Crimea, where the Taurians lived. I got interested in a Frenchman, Zouaves, who had a, in the Crimea, concert party with large tent and military band in the pit as the orchestra, and seats like a theatre as they could make it. And of course, the great acts that everybody liked were the men had to dress up as women. And I also found some from the 4th Division at Sevastopol, an English one. It was called Little Toddlekins and Going to the Derby. And you've got a cast like Mrs. Twiddle, Lieutenant Sanderson, 63rd Regiment. Mrs. Chucks, Lieutenant Pryor, 48th. Also, I'd read that many of the officers in the Crimea were often classicists. A lot of them were sending their men out to excavate. A lot of the stuff ended up in the British Museum. And I had the thought that one of these classically inclined lieutenants, who obsessively still had his Iphigenia texts with him because it was actually set in the place where he was fighting, would suddenly think, oh, why can't they use their talents to do something that belongs here, that's serious? And the men who have played in the camp concert become the women's chorus and the cast of Iphigenia in Tauris.
Iphigenia in Crimea by Tony Harrison after Euripides' Bloody Deeds.
For the Crimea.
Hey, no. Look there. That's champagne.
No, mine's a beer.
Still in this bucket and still not melted ice. Still fizzy and not flat. Mmm. Oh, very nice.
Look at that statue. Oh, no. Bet it's ancient bloody Greek. Mm. I'll give them marble nipples a wee tweak.
I think I heard that marble beauty squeak.
Any lass would squeak or shriek with Jones around.
Yeah! Come see what Randy Jones has found.
Here, come on, lads. Give this lass a kiss. She likes it. She's a proper tarty miss. This is the sort of armchair upper classes ease their silken pantaloon fat arses.
I'm off upstairs to see what I can find.
Aye.
just the job for a gentleman's behind.
Gentleman, be Jesus.
At least I wasn't born like you, a bleeding bogside leprechaun.
Oh. Hey, hey, you lot down there! There's loads of girly gear, all posh and perfume that I found up here. Come up, come up. There's wardrobe packed. They must have buggered off when we attacked. Come on, let's go.
Here, lads, have a little sniff of that. You can almost smell some posh girl's powdered twelve. Here, Freddie, you're a titch. I bet this fits. Stuff some cloth in bust bits to make tits. Put this one on. I bet it's just your size.
Go on, we'll all close our eyes.
How does this go on?
But tell us when you're ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
I didn't know you're Freddy. I proper fancy you. Let's all get dresses on and look right tarty and give the camp a come-on concert party.
Is there a green one?
There's more in the straw.
Have a you try one.
A wink at the men in ink and blow kisses at soldiers here.
We send all the kisses, caresses we can, the cream of the Crimea. We're the beauties behind the battle front, we're always revealing our rear. And if you're lucky you might see us, the cream of the Crimea.
Lieutenant, I came to check out that all's well and nothing damaged by damned Rusky shell.
I've been reading in my tent an ancient play I try to read some lines from every day. Sergeant, I'm fine and totally unhurt. Look, there's another soldier in a skirt. The Russians will be amazed to see these maids still in their dresses, manning cannonades.
Damn Rusky snipers up to their old game.
Rather spoilt the concert party. Shame. Mademoiselles manning cannon. Not sure a war's meant to be fought by lads in ladies' drawers.
No sissies in our lot, sir. It's mostly frogs, like trolloping about in tarty togs.
I know their antics are a bit of mindless cheer to lighten our spirits in the bleak Crimea. But they could do more than simply entertain and give us something in more serious vein. And Euripides...
Sorry, sir. Who's he?
Greek dramatist, 5th century BC. He lived 2 millennia before this confounded damned Crimean War, still waging here in 1854. Euripides composed a gripping play set in the place we find ourselves today. He set his play Iphigenia here, where Brits and Ruskies fight in the Crimea. I know you and the men don't give a toss, but the city where we camped's Chersonesos, a city founded by the Greeks way back BC when they began exploring the Black Sea. But Sebastopol's construction meant the loss of this 2,000-year-old town, Chersonesos. Many a new building, library or bank for firm foundations has Chersonesos to thank. Wild Tartar and barbarian Muscovite have quarried marble from this sacred site. This broken marble column that's been made into a makeshift but effective barricade against the bullets that the Russian snipers spray at us from Sebastopol day after day. And when the peppered pillar splinters, I think this divine, now devastated edifice, was the temple of the goddess Artemis, being shattered by a shower of Russian shot, sacred once, but bang, bang, now it's not. Colonel Monroe, you know, sends his brigades treasure hunting with their trenching spades. He knows beneath this bloody battleground precious objects from the Greek past can be found, like this. I just unearthed with my boot toe. A wine jar handle. Gold to old Munro. Colonel Munro and I created our rapport in Athens on our way here to the war.
Aye, we saw you well-bred officers ride off all together for your posh boy scoff.
We dined in the Parthenon with tables laid for our officers in finery and braid, none lower than lieutenant, I'm afraid.
We weren't asked, sir, us poor rank and file.
No, fine dining isn't quite your style. And what do you lot care about Athena?
We might have learned to care if we had seen her.
Colonel Munro and I, both classicists when young, spoke to each other in the ancient tongue, and in the temple of Athena with champagne, toasted the glory to be gained in this campaign. We didn't want to leave, but bore the loss by remembering Greeks built Kasonisos, the very place, this place, lest we forget, where Euripides' Iphigenias said. The ancient Greeks helped both of us withdraw from the dire demands of 1854. Me into poetry, the colonel into pots. In old Kasonisos, he's dug up lots. Whenever the action starts abating, the colonel sends his men out excavating. The colonel has what's excavated, crated, to be shipped back home, to be appreciated. In every break in fighting, each small lull, his men race to get the colonel's crates packed full. Fragments of antiquity piled high. Lamps, bronze coins, terracotta, amphorae. For me, when there are brief lulls in the fray, I'll read from my Iphigenia play. I studied the text I started at 18 and carried with me everywhere I've been. In my cabin on long voyages, in my tent. The play went with me everywhere I went. Already I know all of it by heart and could, if called upon, play every part. If you don't believe me, Sergeant, I'll recite the whole damn thing in Greek one peaceful night.
What an honour, sir.
Sergeant, you're too kind.
You must be out of your posh little mind.
It may seem strange, but if I had my way, I would command my regiment to do this play. It would begin in the sun's first morning beams.
Yes, sir. I'll put it to him.
In your fucking dreams. Colonel Munro obsessed with out antique and my lieutenant gabbling bloody Greek. Why give so much time to some crap play, set in this godforsaken shithole anyway? Listen, he's gone into his tent and he'll recite that ancient bloody Greek stuff half the night.
Δενασον ελαδοστρατηγίες, εγαμέμνον αλμινός αφόμες εισκτονός, πριναν καρίνσιν αιφικενάιαν αλτιμις λαβίς φαγαίσον.
That would be a marvellous idea, to put Iphigenia on right here, where she was priestess of the holy shrine of Artemis, now rubble. The main role's mine. Seeing the squaddies all dressed up as tarts reminds me men played all the female parts, as well as all the male parts, way back then in Athens, for an audience of men. And men is all we've got. And so it seems, to finally fulfill my deepest dreams, I put on appropriate female attire and make my deep male voice a wee bit higher and enter before you all Iphigenia. Pelops, son of Tantalus, set off for Pisa with his speedy steeds and wed Hippodamia. Atreus was her son, and Atreus's sons were Menelaus, and the Agamemnon I sprang from, child of Clytemnestra. Iphigenia. The vocal parts, not easy for us men. Give me a moment, and I'll start again. It would help me if I hear, when I come in, a loud drum roll for the drama's heroine. Pelops, son of Tantalus, set off for Pisa with his speedy steeds and wed Hippodamia. Atreus was her son. And Atreus's sons were Menelaus and the Agamemnon I sprang from, child of Clytemnestra. Iphigenia, by wind-churned dark eddies of Euripus,
sacrificed, slaughtered, my throat slit for Helen's sake by my father, so-called. My throat. My father sacrificing to Artemis by the now notorious inlets of Aulis. There, Agamemnon the king had assembled his fleet of 1,000 ships, hoping to win for the Greeks a victor's wreath for Troy and take revenge on Helen's violated vows to pacify Menelaus. When the right breeze wasn't blowing for the fleet to sail, the king burnt sacrifices and priest Calchas spoke. Lord of the Greek host, Agamemnon, you'll launch no ships. And the voyage won't happen till your vows are fulfilled and Artemis is given your daughter, Iphigenia, sacrificed to the goddess as you swore in your vow. You swore to the light-bearing goddess you'd offer the fairest fruit that the year would bring forth. And your wife, Clytemnestra, has a child at home. I got fairest fruit prize from Calchas the priest, and she must be offered as a sacrifice now. So, the sly tricks of Odysseus got me from my mother. His pretense was I'd be the bride of Achilles. Once they got me to Aulis, up, up, I was lifted over the altar to be given the knife thrust. But the goddess Artemis snatched me away by switching my body for that of a deer, and the Greeks slit the deer's throat instead of my own. She flew me through the bright sky here to the land of the Taurians, barbarians, even their king who runs like he had wings, which is why he's called Thoas, fleet of foot. Artemis made me priestess of her temple to officiate over her festival rites, barbarian rites from before my arrival. And festival's a fair word with fear underneath. By these festive rites, I've got to sacrifice any Greek who lands here on these shores. I sacrifice, as I was almost at Aulis, any Greek who lands here in Crimea. If I tell the sky the bad dreams of last night, it might, in the telling, bring some relief. I dreamt I'd changed lands and was back home in Argos. I was asleep in the palace where girls had their quarters. An earthquake shook the ground underneath me. Then I was outside and saw, or dreamt I saw, a roof cornice tumble, and then the whole roof, the columns all crashing down to the ground. There was only one left standing, and it seemed to have a head on it, with darkish auburn hair. It seemed to speak. And I, who kill strangers here, sprinkled water on it, doomed to die, and wept. This is what I think that bad dream means. Orestes is dead. It was him I sprinkled water on. Sons are a house's pillars, those I sprinkled die. My long absent brother needs a libation, and I'll pour one, though we're oceans apart. That's the least I can do. My servants will help me. Those Greek women King Thoas gave me for some reason or other don't seem to be here. I'll go inside here where my duties are done, my place as the priestess of Artemis. The goddess who saved me, I now have to serve.
Watch out in case someone comes and we're spied.
Orestes, my eyes are peeled. I'll check each side.
The goddess's temple. Pylades, could this be what we came from Argos for across the sea?
You should believe it. It looks like it to me.
And there, the altar where Greek gore drips down.
The cornices are stained with dried blood brown.
And look there, heads dangling, swarming with flies.
The skulls of killed Greeks with no flesh or eyes. I'll check if there's somewhere we can get in by.
This net you've got me trapped in, Apollo. Why? I'm here on your orders after killing my mother. She killed my father, I killed her. Then these furies, constant tormentings, drove me from my homeland. I'd gone round in circles, then went to Delphi to ask how I could finish this suffering. These frenzies. You said I should come to the Crimea's borders where your sister, Artemis, possesses her altars and take that image of her that fell here from the sky by some sly way or other. Then, that ordeal over, I had to give it to the land of the Athenians, what they do with the image you chose not to say. And this done, my suffering, finally, would find some relief. So I've obeyed all your orders and find myself here, somewhere in Crimea, clearly quite hostile.
You can say that again.
So, Pylades, what do you think we should do? Do we need ladders to get us up there? If we climb up that high, we're bound to be seen. Or can we bludgeon the door bolts open with bars? If they catch us, though, battering the temple doors and forcing an entrance, we're bound to be killed. So let's quit and creep back on the ship we came in on.
Flight's not on, Orestes. Flight's not the Greek way. We mustn't make light of Apollo's commandment. Let's leave the temple and hide in the caves the Black Sea's waves wash in and out of. We'll keep away from the ship in case someone spots it and reports to these princes and gets us captured. But once the night has shown its gloomy face, we'll steel ourselves and find some trick or other to get the image of Artemis out of this temple. The brave get things done. No one likes cowards.
You're right, of course, Pylades. I've got to agree. We'll find some place close by to lie low in. I'd be the last to want Apollo frustrated. Yes, we'll steel ourselves. We're young. No excuses. Look, women. Coming out of the temple. Let's hide.
Artemis, Artemis, in your temple there, we serve Iphigenia, who keeps the key. The priestess you carried through the air, not like us, shipped over the sea, forced to quit sacked city towers, forced out of house and home, out of the Greece that once was ours, trafficked across the Black Sea foam, with husbands, fathers, sons all left unburied where they died. Captives trafficked through the clashing cleft to the Black Sea's barbaric side. Once we'd seen the slave ship scrape through the clashing cleft, Symplegades, we're in the Crimea with no escape. No rescuing Greeks who'd cross these seas. Green meadows, woods, the Greece we miss as captives in Crimea, serving the priestess of Artemis, a goddess made crueler here. Serving this priestess of Artemis,
a goddess
in Crimea.
We've come.
Has something happened?
What's on your mind?
Why have you brought me to the temple, daughter of Agamemnon, who went to Troy's towers with 1,000 ships and 10,000 armed soldiers?
My attendants. My voice can't make more than harsh lamentations, strangled by stringless sounds no Greek lyre ever made. And grieving cries, ah, ah, screams coming in between keening, grieving and keening for Orestes, my brother. His apparition appeared in my nightmare that came in the darkness that just passed away. I'm done for. I'm done for. All my kin vanished. All that suffering in Argos. You divine power who sent my brother to Hades. It's for him I'll wet the ground with libations poured from a bowl meant for the departed. First milk from hill-grazing cows, wine draughts from Bacchus, and that made by the labor of bees. Milk, wine, honey give dead spirits comfort. Hand me the gold bowl I'll pour liquid from down to Hades. Son of Agamemnon under the ground, these libations are for you. My dead brother. Take them. I won't be able to bring you a tress or my teardrops. You don't have a tomb. I've been brought far away from our homeland, where they believe I'm dead with my throat slit.
The frenzy of grief keeps our cries crude and raw.
The music of Hades with no joy in its cadence.
Music to mourn the dead in the shrillest of dirges.
Oh, the house of the Atreids.
The light gone, the scepter gone.
Murder on murder, anguish on anguish.
For the family of Tantalus from long ago. That family's bloodshed brings taint to yours.
Some power, some fury hatches ruin for you.
My star's been an ill one right from the start, from my mother's womb even the very start. The fates who presided over my birthing forced me into a life full of anguish. Me, first born to Clytemnestra, daughter of Leda, brought up to further a father's bloodletting. In a horse-drawn carriage, they brought me, a doomed bride, to the seashore at Aulis, intended as the wife of Achilles. Now a stranger, I live in a house that's forbidding here on the sea, that's been dubbed the Unfriendly. Manless, childless, cityless, friendless, me, who had suitors from all over Hellas. I never sang the sweet songs for Hera in Argos. Nor on the chattering loom do I depict with my shuttle the likeness of Pallas and Titans. No, instead, I inflict a bloody fate our Greek lyre has no voice for on strangers who cry out in terror and shed piteous tears. Now I've emptied my head of them all. I weep for my brother now dead in Argos, you, the one I left still little and gentle in your mother's arms, suckling at her breast, the future ruler of Argos, a baby. Orestes.
Look, there's a cowherd running up from the shore.
It looks like there's something he wants you to know.
Daughter of Agamemnon and Clytemnestra, listen to the strange tale I've got to relate.
What can be so pressing for you to interrupt?
Newcomers. Newcomers here in our land. Their ship managed to dodge the darksome Plegades. Two young men together. Just the right thing to offer as sacrifice to Crimean Artemis. Be ready to sprinkle the goddess's victims.
Where are they from? Did their looks give some clue?
They're Greeks, I'd say, by the looks of them too.
Did you hear names being used for either of these?
One called the other one Pylades.
What name did the one who was with him go by?
The others heard no name, and neither did I.
Whereabouts did you grab them, these strangers you saw?
Where the unfriendly sea waves break on the shore.
Why were you on the beach, though? Your cattlemen?
Our cows get a washdown down there now and then.
Go back to the capture. Where? How and when? How did you manage this? Please let me know. It's a long time since the goddess's altar has been reddened with the blood daubs of Greeks.
We were driving our cattle that graze on these woodlands towards the sea that flows through the Symplegades. There's a cave there constant waves have made hollow. For men hunt for shellfish they crush to make purple. One of us cowherds caught a glimpse of two youths. He tiptoed back to tell us what he'd stumbled across. Can't you see him over there? Gods, by the look. Then one of us, a god-fearing bloke, looked at them both and started a prayer. Son of sea goddess Leucothea, protector of ships, Palaemon, be propitious. Whether it's Castor and Pollux who sit on our shores, or the loved sons of Nereus who begot the 50-strong chorus of Nereids who ride waves and guide ships. But another, a bit outspoken in his lack of belief, laughed at the prayer and said, "They're shipwrecked sailors. They're crouched in the rock cleft as they've heard of our custom of sacrificing strangers, and clearly they're scared." Most of us thought he spoke sense, so decided to catch them and sacrifice them, as is our custom. While we made plans, one of the strangers left the rocks and stood, his head shaking up and down, moaning, his fingers twitching, convulsed by mad fits. Then he shouted out with a voice like a hunter, "Pylades, look at that one, that she-snake from Hades. Don't you see her? There, there, she's trying to kill me, flailing at me with a whiplash of vipers. This one oozes blood, oozes fire, wings flaring and flapping, holding in her arms my mother's carved image, a huge weight of marble to crack my skull open. No, no, she'll kill me. Where will I run to?" We could see nothing. No sea snakes, no monsters. All we could hear was cows mooing, dogs barking. Reckoning he was croaking, we just crouched there in silence. But he draws his sword and leaps on our cattle like a lion, slashes their flanks, jabs steel in their ribs, making the sea spume blossom with blood, thinking he was hacking not cattle but furies, while we all stand there watching our herd being slaughtered. We get ourselves weapons and blow on our conch shells to alert others to help, because we realized we didn't, against those trained, youthful strangers, stand much of a chance. Soon we'd gathered a reasonable number. The foreigner collapses as his madness receded. His chops were all slobbery. And when we see him fallen, to a man, we start chucking rocks at the strangers. But the other foreigner wipes his friend's face of slather and shields his body with his thick woven cloak, making sure our missiles went wide of their mark, protecting his friend with an unselfish kindness. When he came to his senses, he leapt to his feet and saw the numbers attacking and groaned aloud and went on being pelted with pebbles and stones. Then we heard this scary sort of rallying cry. "We're going to die, Pylades, but let's die like heroes. In the noblest way we can, draw your sword! Follow me!" We saw their blades being brandished and we fled. We ran away and huddled down in a gully. But if some of us fled, there were others kept pelting. And if they get driven back, the ones who retreated rally and hurl their rocks at the strangers. But this is the strange bit. Though they hurled many missiles, no one managed to hit the goddess's victims. With some effort, and not before time, we prevailed. We surrounded them and knocked their swords from their grasp with a barrage of stones. They sank to their knees, exhausted. And we brought them at once to the king. As soon as he saw them, he said, "Take them to you, to be ritually anointed and then sacrificed." I'd be glad of strangers like these for my sacrifices, so Greece gets paid back for your murder at Aulis.
Quite a story you've told. These Greeks turning up, whoever they are, braving the hostile Black Sea.
We'll go and fetch the strangers here, and I'll see to it that things are made ready. My desperate heart, once compassionate and gentle toward strangers, with tears for those closest in kin when it was Greeks who fell into my hands. The bad dreams of last night have made me hard-hearted, and you'll find me pitiless, whoever you are. Dear friends, this is a truth I've discovered. When those who have suffered meet the more fortunate, because of their suffering, they don't wish them well. No wind sent by Zeus has blown here ever yet a vessel bearing Helen through the Symplegades. Helen, the cause of my destruction, and Menelaus, so I could make them pay for their crimes. An Aulis for an Aulis, one here and one there, where I was hoisted like a calf to get my throat slit by the Greeks, by that throat slitter, my father. I'll never forget the horrors of that terrible moment. Time after time, my hand touched his cheek and kept saying, "Father, through you, I'm a bride in a base betrothal." And as you slit my throat, my mother and the women of Argos are singing my wedding hymn, the palace loud with flute players and serenaded by bride song, I'm butchered by you. Achilles was no son of Peleus. His father was Hades. And this son of Hades you offered as husband carried me in a conveyance to the bloody bridal, a wedding veil over my face covering my eyes. And I find it slightly more than confusing that Artemis is a goddess noted for wisdom. If one of us mortals makes contact with bloodshed or touches a corpse or handles a childbirth, she bans them from her altars as being polluted. And yet she seems to take pleasure in men sacrificed. How could Leto, Zeus's consort, ever give birth to such barbaric ideas? I don't believe Tantalus fed the gods child flesh. Would any deity banquet on boy meat? The barbarians here, though, being bloodthirsty, transfer their flaw to the goddess I'm supposed to be serving. It's my belief no god could ever be evil.
The gadfly with a buzzing black sea wine, goaded eel across dark seas, through Europe, Asia's dividing line. The crashing cleft, Symplegades. What goaded these Greeks we see tied to leave sweet Greece to suffer this? The black seas, barbarian side, with blood demanding Artemis. Was greed for gold these Greeks? Gadfly! Our greed starts small, but soon can grow. Impossible to gratify, wherever or how far they go. Or how many ports sail to and sack. Or how much bullion they load. The Symplegades won't keep them back. With greed for gold, a gadfly goad. Iphigenia begs fate to summon Helen from Troy to the Crimea, so she can kill the guilty woman in a manner practiced here. Helen, who caused the whole Trojan War, her gold ringlets would be sprayed with gushes of hot gizzard gore from Iphigenia's blade.
But far more I wish that fate would send rescuing Greeks to the Crimea to bring our enslavement to an end to this slave life and fear.
Back in my city, my home, and free to dance and sing in a group like this. Greek jubilation, not Black Sea barbarity for Artemis.
The strangest the cowherd told us he'd found sacrifices for Artemis inside there. Look, they're here, that Greek pair. Bound. Keep silence first, then utter our prayer.
Gifts, Artemis, you don't abhor in this barbaric Black Sea land. Your altar stained with strangers' gore. Back home in Greece we'd brand unholy and beyond the law. Back in the Greece we knew before.
First I'll make sure all's in order for the goddess. Go inside the temple and get things prepared. Get everything needed for what must be done.
Back home in Greece! Back home in Greece! Back home in Greece! Back home in
Who was your mother? Your father? Does a sister exist? Such a double loss for her, both her brothers. Who can know when baleful things will befall? The gods' plans are obscure. Where do you hail from, wretched strangers? To reach here, you must have spent a long time at sea, but not as long as you'll spend underground.
Woman, I don't know your name. Whoever you are, why disturb yourself over our problems, not yours? Odd that someone about to commit execution should show some compassion to diminish the terror.
And a condemned man's stupid to grieve when all's hopeless. Stupid twice over. He shows his stupidity and dies anyway. We should let fortune take her course. Don't mourn us. We know what goes on here, the sacrifices that are made. We understand.
Which one is Pylades out of you two?
He is. But why should that matter to you?
Where in Greece was he born, this Pylades?
I don't see the point of questions like these.
So maybe your brothers, of the same blood?
No, it's friendship binds us in our brotherhood.
And what kind of name did your father bestow?
It should have been Luckless. That name suits my woe.
Not my question. It's to fate your complaint should be made.
It's my body, not my name, you'll slash with your blade.
Why grudge me it? Too proud, that's clear.
A nameless dead man is one you can't smear.
And your city? I suppose that's secret too?
I'm doomed to die. What do I gain if I share it with you?
But what stops you doing it out of good grace?
I'm proud to claim Argos as my birthplace.
Really, stranger, Argos? Is that really true?
Yes, from Mycenae. A city once all Hellas knew.
If you're from Argos, it's good you've come here.
Good for you, maybe, but not me, I fear.
Was it something else, or was it exile you got?
You could call it exile. Half wanted, half not.
There's something I'd like you, please, to explain.
Oh, why not? It'll help me forget about pain.
Of Troy and its stories, you're no doubt aware.
I wish that I wasn't. It's still my nightmare.
They say that Troy's finished, ruined by war.
It's true what they say. Yes, Troy is no more.
Did Menelaus and Helen, his wife, reunite?
Yes, but for my kinsmen, her return proved a blight.
Where's Helen now, who hasn't yet paid me back for her sin?
Sparta, her former spouse, took her back here.
All Greeks detest her. I'm not alone.
Her marriage gave me great gifts of my own.
And the Greeks got back, as the stories all say.
You'll get the whole epic if you grill me this.
I need all the details before you must die.
Then ask me, and I'll answer, or at least try.
Did Calchas the prophet get back from the war?
The news in Mycenae is that he's no more.
Oh, Artemis, that's good news. Odysseus, is he?
Alive? Not back home, still somewhere at sea?
May he stay there and die there. That is my curse.
They say the life of Odysseus couldn't get worse.
And Achilles, son of Thetis, did he survive Troy?
No, his wedding at Aulis brought him no joy.
A sham, as those who suffered at Aulis soon knew.
This need to know about Greece. Who are you? Who?
I'm from there, but was ruined and left long ago.
Now it makes sense why you're desperate to know.
So what of the general they called Lucky Starred?
To fit that name on who I know would be very hard.
Agamemnon the king is the one meant by this.
I know nothing. Let's give that subject a miss.
No, by the gods, I beg you, I need to know.
He's dead, and his death caused others great woe.
Dead? Dead, what disaster! Say it's not true.
Why wail? What was Agamemnon to you?
I'm lamenting a fall from a lucky starred life.
His death was terrible, hacked down by his wife.
Pitiable, pitiable, both for hacker and hacked.
Stop there, don't try to nag me for one more fact.
Just this one. That ill-starred man's wife, is she still there?
No, butchered by the son she'd been happy to bear.
Her son? House of Torments, her son killed her. Why?
She'd killed his father, so she had to die.
What a wrong, but just fate for him to fulfill.
For all its justice, the gods still treat him ill.
Agamemnon's children, were there more than this son?
A daughter called Electra is now the last one.
The one who was sacrificed. What of that daughter?
Nothing. Except that they took her for slaughter.
Poor child. And poor father who wielded the knife.
It was through evil Helen that child lost her life.
The dead king's son. Is Argos his home?
No. Everywhere. Nowhere in frenzy, forced to roam.
So much for my nightmares I now know are false.
So too the gods, though reputed for wisdom, are no more to be trusted either than dreams.
Listen, I've just thought of a plan. A plan to your advantage, strangers, and to mine. It's best when the same thing satisfies both. Would you be willing, if I rescue you, to go to Argos with a message for those I love there, to carry a letter I asked a captive to write? The captive didn't hold me guilty of his death. He thought it was custom that was taking his life and accepted the right of Artemis as just. I've had no one I could send once spared to Argos to take my letter to one of my loved ones back there. But you seem not lowborn and know Mycenae. And it were there I need contact, so be spared. Claim what's not a measly reward being spared for conveying this writing that weighs almost nothing. And since the people here force this to happen, let your friend be the goddess's victim, not you.
Your plan seems a good one, but for one thing. For this man to be killed would weigh on my heart. He only sails with me because of my troubles. I couldn't just destroy him to gain your good grace and escape myself from pain. Let it be like this. Give him the letter, and he'll deliver it to Argos. Then you'll have all that you've wanted. Then let the one who wants the sacrifice kill me. It's shameful to dump your friends to save yourself. The life of my friend here is as precious as my own.
I admire your courage. Your stock must be noble. You show your friendship at its most true. If my brother's alive, I hope he's like you. Yes, I do have a brother, though not one I see. If that's what you want, he takes the letter, you die. There's some deep drive within you for wanting it so.
My sacrifice, the dark deed. Who'll be the one?
Me. The goddess demands I get the deed done.
That won't bring much luck or envy your way.
I have no choice. There are orders I have to obey.
A male killed by a female? Me killed by you?
No. Anointing you with water, that's what I do.
If you don't do the killing, tell me who will.
They're inside the temple, those chosen to kill.
What rites will my corpse get once life is left?
Sacred fire inside, then a deep rocky cleft.
Ah! My corpse not made ready by my sister's hand.
She lives a long way from this barbarous land, so to want that's vain, poor man, whoever you are. But because you happen to be Argos-born, I myself will give you what brief rites I can. I'll bestow some adornment when you are buried, and moisten your body with bright yellow oil and drizzle honey from mountain bees onto your pyre. I must bring the letter from out of the temple, so that you don't feel any more hostile to me. Guard them, but loosen the rope around their hands. It will be a surprise, the news that I'm sending to my loved ones in Argos, one loved above all. This letter saying those he thought dead or alive will bring him a joy he couldn't have looked for.
Pylades, do you have the same feelings as me?
Tell me what they are, and then we can see.
This young woman, who is she? How Greek she seemed. Those questions. The suffering at Troy. The return to Greece. Or Calchas, who knew bird lore and Achilles of fame. How upset she seemed about poor Agamemnon. And she asked me about his wife and his children. She's an Argive, this stranger. Her birthplace is Argos. Or she wouldn't send this letter. Or ask us such questions, as though her welfare depended on the welfare of Argos.
You've taken the words right out of my mouth. I'd say one thing, though. It's pretty common knowledge, the sufferings of Greek kings, the destruction of Troy. But there's another thing I need to say.
Say it, and we can discuss it together.
It would shame me to go on living if you die. We shared the voyage here. We should share our death. I'll be accused of cowardice, my behavior branded both in Argos and all the valleys of Phocis. They'll all believe, you know what they're like, that I got back only by a best friend's betrayal. Contriving your fate for the sake of the kingship, married as I am to your sister, the heiress. This makes me afraid and feel full of shame. It's only right that I breathe my last at your side, be slaughtered with you, my corpse burned with yours. I'm your friend. I'd loathe to be branded your betrayer.
Don't talk like that. My burdens are mine to bear. But I have enough trouble without adding yours. What you call shameful, what you call full of pain, is the same as I'd feel if I caused your death, when you've been so loyal and brave at my side. Faring as the gods have made me fare so far is no bad thing for me to leave this life behind. But you, You're thriving. Your house isn't polluted or diseased, unlike mine, impious, cursed with bad luck. If you are spared, you'll have sons by my sister, who I gave you as spouse, and my ancestral line won't be wiped out through lack of descendants. Go. Live. Settle in the house of my father, and when you come to Greece and the Argos of Horses, I enjoin you by this right hand to do as follows. Raise a mound. Make it stand as my memorial, and let my sister weep and place hair on this grave. Tell her I was killed by a woman from Argos, purified and sacrificed on the altar of Artemis. Never desert Electra for all the taint of the household. Farewell. Of all my friends, I loved you the most. We hunted together. We grew up together. And you've borne with me so much of my burden. Apollo the prophet has cheated me by a trick, driven me as far out of Greece as he could, ashamed of the prophecies which never came true. I trusted him with everything. I listened, I obeyed. I killed my mother. Now I'm the one murdered.
You'll have your grave. I won't betray your Electra. My poor friend, I'll love you more dead than alive. Apollo's prophecy hasn't destroyed you yet, even though balanced on the cliff edge of death. It happens. It does happen that huge misfortune can give way suddenly and then be reversed.
No more. Apollo's word's no use to me. Here comes the woman out of the temple.
Go help them prepare the sacrifice inside.
Here's the letter with its many leaves, strangers. But listen to what I need from you further. When a man's out of trouble, his boldness comes back. Now you are frightened. I fear once you're free and out of this country and safely back home, you won't give another thought to my letter.
What do you want? What is it you're needing?
Let him swear me an oath that he'll take the letter I give him to Argos and to those it's meant for.
And will you on your part swear an oath too?
What must I swear that I'll do or not do?
He'll be released from this barbarous country alive.
How else could my letter hope to arrive?
And the king of this country, will he agree?
Yes, and your friend will board ship, escorted by me.
So what is the oath my friend here must swear?
To your loved ones in Greece, this letter I'll bear.
To your loved ones in Greece, this letter I'll bear.
You'll pass the dark rocks and safely reach there.
Which of the gods did you swear your oath by?
Artemis, in whose temple my duties still lie.
And I by great Zeus, who rules earth and sky.
And if that bond's broken and you prove untrue?
I'll never see home. And if my life's not saved by you?
That Argos I long for may I never see.
We've overlooked something, it seems to me.
If it's a good thing, let us all know.
Promise me one thing. If something happens to the ship and the letter goes to the bottom along with your message, and only I survive from the shipwreck, the oath I've sworn you won't still be binding.
I'll tell you everything the letter has in it, so you can repeat it to my loved ones in Argos. That makes things safe. If it gets there still intact, it will give its message out silently. But if the letter ends up in the sea, if you save yourself, you'll save my words.
Good idea. We both gain. But tell me this. It's for someone in Argos, this letter. Who? Or who say the words to once learned from you?
Say to Orestes, son of Agamemnon, that she whose throat was slit at Aulis sends these words. Iphigenia, who's alive, though to them is departed.
Where is she then? Has she come back from the dead?
She's here. You're looking at her. But don't interrupt. Bring me to Argos, brother, from this barbarous land, where I have to kill strangers before I die.
What's going on? Where on earth is this place?
Or I'll raise a curse against your whole house, Orestes. I'll say it again so you remember.
Gods!
Why call on the gods when I'm speaking?
No reason. Continue. I was somewhere else. Soon I won't need more questions to know everything.
Say that the goddess Artemis saved my life, by putting a deer in my place for my father to slaughter and made it look like it was my throat he was slitting. She settled me here. That's what's in the letter.
They're easy to keep, the oaths that I swore, and take no time at all to bring to fulfillment. Orestes, take this letter sent by your sister.
So I will, but I'll lay the letter aside. The joy that I feel needs no more words. Dearest sister, I'm struck dumb. Dumb. But I embrace you in my stunned disbelief. The news that I've heard makes me ecstatic.
Stranger, your touch taints the goddess's servant, throwing your arms around her sacrosanct garments.
My own dear sister, child of one father, Agamemnon, it's me. Don't turn away. You hold the brother you never thought you would hold.
You, my brother, stop such wild talk. My brother is in Argos, if he's anywhere.
Poor woman, that's not where your brother is now.
It was the Spartan daughter of Tyndareus bore you.
To the grandson of Pelops, who was my father.
What are you saying? Do you have any proof?
Yes, but test me on questions about our old home.
Why don't I just listen to you telling me?
Electra must have told you of the tensions that existed between Thyestes and Atreus.
I heard they quarreled over some golden lamb.
The golden lamb you wove into a hanging.
Dear one, your words come close to striking a chord.
And you wove the sunrise into the hanging as well.
I wove it into a textile of fine threads.
And the water our mother sent to bathe you at Aulis?
The bliss of my bridal didn't make me forget it.
And the locks of your hair that were sent to our mother?
They were to be buried instead of my body.
Now I'll give you more proofs, things I remember. The spear in my father's house belonging to Pelops, he killed Enomaus with to win Hippodamia of Pisa. The spear was kept in the rooms where you girls slept.
Dearest, no more, no more. I hold you. I hold you, Orestes. Too long, far from home, far from Argos, the homeland, my dear one.
And I hold you, who I long thought was dead.
A tear, a sob wets my cheek in joy.
Mine too.
When I left, you were a babe in your mother's arms. The pride of the palace. Oh, luck, much luckier than words can express. What can I say? Beyond all marvels, beyond all words, has all this turned out?
In future, may we be lucky together.
Oh, friends, I've found extraordinary joy. I'm afraid it will fly off into the air. Hail, Cyclopean heart, dear Mycenae, dear homeland. I thank you for his life and his nurture. This brother of mine, this light of the house.
In our birth we were blessed, but not in our lives, sister. And in all we have suffered.
The suffering. The suffering, how my dark-souled father thrust his knife at my throat.
I can see it, I can see it. Though I wasn't at Aulis.
There were no hymns when they brought me to the sham, bogus bride bed of Achilles. At the altar, there were tears, there were groans. Ah, those anointings, ah!
I cry too at what our father committed.
Fatherly kindness wasn't my lifeblood. But now something different, some fortune God sent.
Supposing, poor wretch, you'd butchered your brother.
Terrible things I did. I did terrible things. Ah, my brother, you escaped by a whisker. You escaped an unholy death at my hands. How will it all end? What future can I expect? What way can I find for you out of the city, away from your death, and back to Argos, our homeland, before the sacrificial blade lets out your blood? The problem, poor soul, is for you to solve. Over land? Not by ship, but by fleetness of foot, you'll pass close to death through barbarian tribes and endless tracks that seem to lead nowhere. Through the narrow gaps and the dark rocks is a long voyage by ship. What god, what mortal, what unlooked-for event will give us a route through this dead end and show a way for these two descendants of Atreus to be released from their torment?
When long-lost loved ones come face to face, Orestes, it's only natural they want to embrace.
Let's leave off lamenting and face up to things. How shall we win now the prize of salvation? How get ourselves out of this barbarous land? This is the wise way. Hang on to good fortune, but seize the moment and increase that good fortune.
You've spoken well. I think we depend on fortune as well as ourselves. I think divine power aids those the most who show the most spirit.
One question, though, you won't stop me from asking. Our sister Electra, how does she fare?
Well, very well. She's married to Pylades there.
Where's he from? Whose son, if I may inquire?
His birthplace is Phocis, and Strophius his sire.
My dear sister's husband, salutations to you.
Salute not just my kinsman, my guardian too.
Our mother, that dire deed, how did you dare?
Revenge for our father. Let's leave it there.
Our mother killed our father. Why? Why? Why?
I said leave it there, best not to pry.
I'll say no more. But Argos, you're now in command?
No, Menelaus. We're both in exile from our native land.
Would our uncle foul further our fouled family?
No, fear of the Furies, that made me flee.
Ah, harried by Furies. Mother murders the cause.
They forced their bloody horse bit into my jaws.
It was them, then, that fit the cattlemen saw.
Many have witnessed that same fit before.
Why choose this country as part of your quest?
I came to this country at Apollo's behest.
And what did Apollo command you to do? Tell me. Or is it under the god's strict taboo?
I'll tell you. This was how my many troubles began. Those terrible things with our mother I can't talk about. Once they'd been done, I was driven out, hounded by Furies behind me to where Apollo intended. Apollo, speaking from his gold tripod, told me to come here and take the sky-fallen statue and set it up again in the country of Athens. So come, help me to grasp the salvation he offered. If we can get hold of the goddess's image, once free of my fury-sent fits, I'll convey you in our many-oared ship back home to Mycenae. My love, dearest sister, save me, save our house. All's lost for me and the family of Pelops if we can't lay our hands on the goddess's image.
Since before you came here, I'd been determined to get myself to Argos to clap eyes on you, brother. I want what you want, to free you from suffering. I feel no more hatred for the father who killed me and want to put our sick, broken house on its feet. That way I'll be delivered from slaughtering you and save our house. But we can't escape from the goddess or the king when he sees the pedestal stripped of its image. How will I be spared death? How plead my case? If only two things could happen. You take the image and also take me onto your broad-hulled boat. If this danger's risked, we may well succeed. If I can't manage this, then I'll be finished. Though you could succeed in getting back home. I'll do all I can, even if it means I die to save you. A man a house loses is always much missed. But a woman's weak and can't count for much.
I won't become your killer as well as my mother's. Her blood is enough. I want to be at one with you and bear the same fate, whether it's life or it's death. I'll bring you back home if I get out myself, or I'll stay here with you and die with you here. But hear what I think. If this wasn't what Artemis wanted, why did Apollo give me his prophetic instructions to take the goddess's image to the city of Pallas? And allow me to gaze on you here, face to face. Putting all this together makes me hope we'll return.
How can it happen? Escaping death, getting home, though we've got the spirit, it's all just a dream.
What would you say if I said kill the king?
Guests murder their host, an unspeakable thing.
If it would save us, I don't see why not.
I admire your resolve, which I haven't got.
Then find me a place in the temple to hide.
Do you think we'll escape with night on our side?
Darkness means deception. Truth needs the day.
There are guards in the sanctum. We can't get away.
Then it's hopeless. Hopeless. What can save us? What?
Listen to this new idea that I've got.
What are you thinking? I need to hear.
Those fits you suffer. I've got an idea.
When there's schemes to be cooked up, women are good.
I'll tell them you shed your own mother's blood.
Yes, use my troubles if there's gain to be had.
I'll say as a sacrifice you'll only bring bad.
On what grounds? No, I don't need you to say.
I'll say your pollution needs washing away.
We can't get the statue through tales about me.
I'll claim your cleansing must be done in the sea.
The statue's still where it's tended by you.
I'll say you've touched it, so it must be washed too.
You'll go to the seashore, but tell me where.
Where your ship's moored, with its sails in the air.
Will you bring the image or someone you command?
Me, it's untouchable to all but my hand.
And Pylades here, what task can he do?
I'll say he's polluted the same way as you.
Will the king be aware or not know a thing?
I'll tell him. I can't keep such things from the king. And the rest, Orestes, you do, not I.
The ship with its sails spread already stands by.
One thing more. The women here must hide what we do.
They're in the temple. Persuade them. That's up to you. As a woman, you can arouse their compassion. Then everything else might work out for the best.
Oh, dearest women, it's you I depend on. It's up to you whether I fare well or ill, and end with no country, no brother, no sister. Let me make this the ground of all my pleading. We are all women, well disposed to one another, most resolute in guarding what's our shared good. Keep silent on our behalf, and let us make our flight. A tongue that is loyal is its own reward. Look at us, three friends united in one fate, and that fate is return to Greece or die. If I survive, you'll all share my good fortune. You, by your right hand, you, by your cheek, you, by your knees, I beg you, each one, and by all those you love back home in Greece, mothers, fathers, children too, if you have them. What do you say? Will you agree or not? Speak out. If you spurn my plea, we're doomed, me and my brother.
Dear mistress, think only of your safety.
For my part, I'll keep silent about all you've asked. Zeus be my witness.
I hope you're rewarded for speaking those words.
Orestes, Pylades, come into the temple. The country's king will be here before long to ask if you strangers have been sacrificed. Mistress Artemis, who by the glens of Aulis saved me from my father's butchering hand, please save me here, and please save these men, or the word of Apollo will be branded a liar's. Favor us, and leave this barbarous land for Athens. It is not proper to live here when you have a choice between a city that's barbarous and a city that's blessed.
I too mourn a loved one's loss, and need for my homeland makes me pine. If I could fly like you, I'd cross to the home in Greece that once was mine. Over the Black Sea to rejoice with Greek women in a true Greek voice,
and raise it in praise in Artemis.
Artemis of Mount Kynthos, not Crimea. Goddess of childbirth, not death like this. Goddess of childbirth, not death like here.
If like the Halcyon I could fly the sun's bright pathway through the sky, and hover with my wings o'er over my Greek home and see her. The happy girl I used to be, dancing with others joyfully, with girls my age, my mother too, doing the dance we used to do. And across my cheeks as our chorus whirls, the shadows of my tossing curls.
Where's the Greek woman who keeps the key of this temple? Sacrificing the strangers, has she made a start? Are their corpses already on fire in the shrine?
Here she is, master. She'll make it all clear.
Oh! The image of Artemis is off its fixed base and cradled in your arms, Iphigenia. Why?
My lord, stay where you are. Don't approach.
What's happened here in the temple today?
Pollution of the sacred... I spit it away.
What are you hinting at? Say what you mean.
These victims you brought me, my lord, they're unclean.
Have you some proof? Or is it all in your brain?
The goddess's statue turned round in disdain.
By itself? Or was it because the earth shook?
By itself, and closed its eyes so as not forced to look.
Why? Do those strangers have some sort of blight?
Because of dire deeds, they're blighted. You're right.
Did they kill some barbarians of ours on the shore?
No. Family blood guilt both bore from before.
Blood guilt? I need to know. Who was it they killed?
Their mother. It was her blood their baleful blades spilled.
Even barbarians like us don't think that's right.
They've been hounded from Greece, always in flight.
And you brought Artemis out, so no damage was done?
Yes, out to the air and pure light of the sun.
Greece taught you something. You've got a good brain.
There was something in them, I thought, to my gain.
News of your family, you hoped they could tell.
Yes, that Orestes, my only brother, fares well.
To make you feel happy and so spare the light.
And my father's in Argos, and so they say, thrives.
Your service to the goddess as priestess comes first?
Yes. Greece destroyed me, so Greece is cursed.
So, what's to be done with these Greeks today?
They must be dealt with in the usual way.
So? They've been sprinkled and brought to the blade?
They've got to be purified first, I'm afraid.
What's best to do that? Fresh water or salt?
The sea washes away all foul human fault.
It's good then the sea washes right up to here.
It needs to be secret. This place is too near.
I won't pry. Do whatever it's proper to do.
I have to cleanse the goddess's statue, too.
Yes, clean the matricide's blemish off. Every trace.
We else lift her statue up off her base.
You've shown proper scruple in every case.
Do you know what I need?
Give your orders to me.
Let them bring the strangers out here.
Bring them outside.
Cover their heads with their cloaks.
Against the hot sun.
Send some of your men with me.
As good as done.
And send men to tell the city.
What shall they say?
They should all stay inside.
Out of pollution's way.
Such things are polluting.
So go and declare.
No one should come near.
This shows how you care.
For friends, most of all.
Does that mean me too? Oh, the whole city thinks so highly of you.
Stay at the temple.
And do what?
Find sulfur to burn, to purify the shrine.
For when you return.
And when the strangers come out here.
What should I do?
Cover your eyes.
Not to be polluted too.
And if I'm taking too long...
Take as long as you need.
May it go the way that I hope.
On that, we'll agree.
Now I see the strangers coming out of the temple with the goddess's adornments and newborn lambs for me to cleanse all that bad blood with good. The bright flames of torches and anything else I prescribed for cleansing the strangers for the goddess. I proclaim to all citizens to stay clear of pollution. Any temple attendant keeping clean hands for the goddess, or anyone about to enter into betrothal, or is heavy with child, all keep your distance so that pollution doesn't fall upon you. Artemis, daughter of Zeus and of Leto, if we can cleanse the blood taint from these strangers, and we can sacrifice to you as we should, you'll dwell in cleansed surroundings and all will be well. Though I say nothing more, the gods know my meaning. They know about most things, as you do too, goddess.
toast, noble son, Apollo. She gave birth to with his golden locks, skilled on the lyre and with the bow, born in Delos, sea-girt rocks. From Delos he crossed to where Dionysus does his own Parnassus, and the mortal serpent has its lair, the python with monstrous hisses. Still a babe in arms, you killed a snake, made Delphi yours, and from below, on your gold truth throne.
You make prophecies where Castalia's waters flow.
Temple protectors and altar attendants, where is Lord Thoas, the king, to be found? Swing open these well-bolted doors and call the king of the country to come here outside.
What is it? Why might be so bold to inquire?
That pair of young men, they've taken flight through the schemes of Agamemnon's daughter. The holy image, they've got that with them too, stored in the bowels of a ship bound for Greece.
Incredible. What a story. Oh, but the man you're wanting, the king of this country, left the temple in haste.
Where was he off to? He's got to know what's happening.
We don't know. We'll run after him and find him, so you can tell him the news that you've got.
You see how untrustworthy you women are. You've something to do with all this.
You're out of your mind. The stranger's escape has nothing to do with us. Go to the king's house. Quick!
Not till I find someone to tell me one thing. Is King Thoas inside the temple or not? Ho! Unloose the bolts, you lot, inside! Let your master know I'm here at the door, preparing a pile of pretty bad news.
Who's raising such a din in the goddess's house?
Those women were lying, shooing me off, telling me you'd gone when you were there all the time.
What good would it do them to tell you that?
I'll explain their role after. Now, hear what's more urgent. That young woman, Iphigenia, who tends the altar, is leaving the country with those two strangers. She's got the statue with her. The cleansing's a trick.
What do you mean? What god led her on?
She's saving Orestes, it will shock you to know.
Orestes? Not Clytemnestra's son.
Yes, and the one Artemis lined up for her altar.
Marvel. Oh, marvel's a weak word for it.
No time for all that. Listen to me. Once you've got the picture, sir, you must plan and get up a pursuit to track down the strangers.
Tell me then. You're right. It's no easy voyage they've started on. They won't escape when we pursue.
When we made it down to the seashore, where Orestes' ship was hidden at anchor, those of us you'd sent to keep hold of their fetters were told to keep our distance by Iphigenia, claiming she was kindling a sacred flame for the cleansing. So she walked behind and held the fetters herself. That seemed a bit fishy, but we just let it happen. After a bit, to pretend there was some right to enact, she started that ululation thing, screaming barbaric cries, sorcery acting as if cleansing a blood guilt. After we'd been sitting there quite a long time, we started thinking, now that they're loose, they could easily kill her and make their escape. But since we were scared to look on the forbidden, we went on sitting there, not saying a word. In the end, all of us agreed we should follow, even though it had all been forbidden. Then, we saw the Greek ship, fledged thick with oars, with rowers all ready with their oars on their thole pins, and the two young men, freed of all fetters, standing on the ship's stern. Other sailors held the prow steady with poles, and others lashed anchors to the catheads, and others rushed with ladders. They let down the sides so the strangers could board. Now that we tumbled to their tricks, our cowardice fled. We grabbed hold of the foreign woman and the cables to try to drag the oar blades out of their sockets. Words started flying. What gives you the right to steal the images and priestesses out of this land? Who do you think you are to smuggle her out of the country? He said, the name's Orestes, her brother, if you must know, the son of Agamemnon, and I'm fetching my sister, who I'd lost, back to our homeland. We kept our hold on her, though, and tried to drag her as best we could the other direction to you. Look, that's how I got these fist marks on my cheeks. They didn't have weapons, neither did we. The two of them launched punches and kicks at us, with gashes on our heads or black eyes.
Then, standing on sandbanks, we wage war at a distance and pelted the enemy with pebbles and stones. But archers on the ship's prow shot arrows at us so that finally we had to draw further back. Then, a sea surge pushed the ship aground. It made the woman afraid of the waves that were rising, so Orestes went and hoisted her onto his shoulder, waded into the sea, mounted the ladder, and placed his sister on the ship's deck, along with the image of the goddess that fell down from the heavens. Then from midship, a voice cried, "You sailors from Hellas, grab your oars and churn the sea into froth. We've got the things we sailed through the Symplegades for and through the passage of the unfriendly sea." Then they let out a great cheerful cry and strike the sea. And as long as the ship was inside the harbour, it made for the opening. But around the harbour mouth, it crashed into a wave when a sudden great wind blew and spun the ship round. They put their strength into the struggle and prevailed. But a huge flowing wave pushed the ship back to land. Then Agamemnon's daughter stood up and prayed, "Artemis, save me, your priestess. Take me back to Hellas from this barbarian land and forgive me this theft. You love Apollo, your own brother goddess, so you'll understand that I also love mine." The crew all assented to that with a cry, then put all their strength into pulling the oars. Nearer and nearer to the rocks the ship came. Then one of our number jumped into the ocean. Another tried to get hawsers hung from the ship. And I was straightaway sent here to you, my lord, to tell you what's been going on there. Go there. Take bonds and nooses with you. Unless the swell of the sea becomes calmer, the strangers haven't got a hope they'll survive. The lord of the ocean keeps a sharp eye on Troy. Holy Poseidon, hostile to the family of Pelops, and will put into your and your citizens' hands Agamemnon's son, along with his sister, condemned for forgetting the murder at Aulis, and now for betraying the goddess.
Poor Iphigenia. You're going to die with your brother if you end up again in the hands of our master.
You soldier, stop! I need your help to wind me up this winch.
What?
Would you mind?
I hope, sir. It's not important if I say our lives are more important than your play.
This is an order. Hoist me up high.
Yes, sir. But don't blame me if you die.
I swore I'd do this play.
Is that high enough? Your cannon fodder in that golden stuff.
My goddess costume.
It's gonna shine, so see you from the Russian line. You get some barmy boogers in the army. Is that high enough?
Yes, yes.
Bloody barmy.
Come back, come back. I'll need you soon. Don't run. I'll need you to winch me down once this is done. Damn it. Damn it. But I'm going to try to enter as Athena. Do or die.
Hold! All citizens of this barbaric land, rein your horses and gallop down to the seashore to meet up with the wreck of the ship of the Greeks. With the goddess's help, hunt these impious men down. Let others drag speedy ships down into the sea so we can pursue them on the ocean and on land. Catch them and hurl them off the rough face, or impale their bodies on stakes. As for you, accomplices in these doings, you women, I'll punish you when there's more time. Now, with all this happening, I can't linger here.
Where are you going in your pursuit? Lord Boas, listen to the words of Athena. Stop your pursuit. Stop sending out this flood of forces. Orestes was destined to come here by Apollo's decree, fleeing the rage of the Furies to bring his sister back to Argos and bring the holy image to my country and finally find relief from the troubles that have been his affliction. Fucking Russians! Boris, Ivan, please! There aren't any snipers in Euripi, bloody D's. Rusky's getting nearer. Shit! My play, our play. They've ruined it. Listen, if it gets any worse,
I'll have to get a move on with the verse. I'll try to dodge when Rusky Lead flies past and start the speech again, but twice as fast. Where are you going in your pursuit, Lord Thoas? Listen to the words of Athena. Stop your pursuit. Stop sending out this flood of forces. Orestes was destined to come here by Apollo's decree, fleeing the rage of the Furies to bring his sister back to Argos and bring the holy image to my country and finally find relief from the troubles that have been his affliction. And this is all said for you, Thoas. As for Orestes, you're planning to kill on the heaving ocean already. Poseidon, as a favor to me, has made the sea waveless so Orestes can sail his ship over calm flatness. Now convey your sister out of this country, son of Agamemnon, and Thoas, hold back your fury. And Thoas, hold back your fury. Where's Thoas gone? God, I'll have to try to remember Thoas's reply.
Let them go to Greece along with the statue, and may they establish it there with good fortune.
Stuck up here and somewhat scared I'll die, I don't have time for all of his reply. To me, as Athena, all you need to know, he agrees to let me, as Iphigenia, go. God, from up here on my crane, it's very clear the audience is gone. Nobody's here. The applause won't happen when I take my bow. Sergeant! If you're around, I really need you now! The bloke who wound me up here to this height went off, forgetting me to join the fight. So here I dangle in full view of our foes, not helped by the costume that I chose. The golden helmet and the golden gown gives them an easy target to shoot down. I see it in the Times. Lieutenant dies dangling on a crane in goddess. Shit. Athena's shot. I'm bloody shot. Athena's divine and doesn't die. I'm not. Both Iphigenia and Athena say goodbye. Our play, somewhat disappointingly, concludes with the usual chorus platitudes. Holy victory, keep my life in your care. Keep putting a green wreath in my hair.
In Iphigenia in Crimea, Blake Ritson played the Lieutenant, Iphigenia and Athena. Orestes, Robert Emms. Pylades, Richard Glaives. And Thoas, John Dougal. The Cowherd was Eugene O'Hare. The Messenger, Michael Colgan. And the chorus were John Bowler, Gavi Sinchera, David Stern and Finlay Robertson. The music was composed and directed by John Nichols. The musicians were Peter Ingrose, Detta Danford, Howard McGill, John Banks and Matt Sharp. Iphigenia in Crimea was written by Tony Harrison after Euripides. The director was Emma Harding.
And a reminder that you can listen to a Radio 3 Sunday feature about Tony Harrison, which we broadcast early this evening. V is for Tony is on the BBC Radio 3 website.
In a terrifying storm, a ship with blood-red sails casts anchor. It's the Flying Dutchman, the ghost ship of legend, whose captain is cursed to spend eternity at sea. Only the love of a faithful wife can save his soul. Michael Foller sings the role of the Dutchman, and Amber Wagner is Zenta, the woman who dreams of saving him. V Wagner's The Flying Dutchman, live from the Metropolitan Opera in New York, next Saturday at 6 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Plenty opera before then, though. We also have an opera matinee each week on Radio 3, and this week it's the one-act opera by Tchaikovsky, Iolanta, a performance from the Tchaikovsky Hall in Moscow. You can hear our opera matinee every week on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock. But now it's 10:30, time for tonight's Early Music Late, presented by Simon Hayes.
Good evening, and welcome to a programme in which we'll be scaling the Everest of Baroque masses, the huge Missa Salisbergensis, written in 1682 by Heinrich Bieber for the 1100th anniversary of the founding of Christianity in Salzburg. The score of the Missa Salisbergensis has only survived by the skin of its teeth. The story goes that it was discovered in the 1870s at a grocer's shop in Salzburg, where its vast 80-centimetre pages were perfect for wrapping vegetables. Even if the story is a little tall, it does underline the fact that the mass is scored for gigantic forces, 7 choirs of singers and instruments, totalling 53 separate parts. Musically, though, the mass is fairly straightforward, depending largely on the interplay between its 7 differently scored ensembles, which would have been dispersed around the many galleries and choir stalls of Salzburg Cathedral. Crucially, though, the cathedral's acoustics were so monstrously reverberant that the harmony had to be kept as simple as possible, while the music's expressive touches were best delivered by small groups of performers whose notes travelled more clearly in the huge space. Tonight, though, we hear Collegium Vocale and Collegium 1704 in the ideal acoustics of the Concertgebouw in Amsterdam, where Václav Lux directs a really tight, punchy performance, full of fine detail, less spaciously elegant than Salzburg Cathedral, perhaps, but certainly no less thrilling.